This is John McClain interviewing John E. McClain, MD, on March 31st, 1996. The subject of this interview is the life and related history of John E. McClain, MD. Okay, now I need to get some background information from you, such as your date of birth, your place of birth, parents' names, spouses' names, education and jobs, etc.
Well, I was born in Washington, D.C., in Columbia Hospital for Women, in November 29, 1934. They had to have me delivered there because they couldn't get me delivered in a small hospital in Alexandria, Virginia, where my parents lived. My mother was Lily Aura McClain, L-I-L-L-I-E-Aura McClain, M-C-L-A-N-E. My dad was Henry Earl McClain. They had already had one two children actually. One was my older brother, Earl, and one was a brother that died shortly after the childbirth fever. And he was born in January, the year in which I was born, in late November. After my birth, we lived in Alexandria, Virginia, until I was in about the third grade in grade school. During that time of growing up, we had a lot of experiences with my older brother, particularly. And we would get on a bus, for example, in Alexandria, and spend a nickel in the for a nickel, we could drive all the way into Washington, D.C., get off the bus, go to a movie, or we would visit the various art galleries and museums on the large mall in Washington. We go to the Washington Monument, we climb up and down the steps of the Washington Monument. We just do all kinds of things in Washington by ourselves. It was safe, and nobody ever bothered us, and there wasn't, it really wasn't even heard of that people were attacked in Washington, D.C., and kids could go over there even at an early age.
Okay, well, did you like moving to a small town in South Carolina after living in a big city?
Well, prior to moving to a small town in South Carolina, where my dad's family was from, my brother and I both had paper routes. And I had to pull mine in the wagon, and he rode a little bike. So we always had our own money. And so I learned at an early age that if you wanted some money, you got out and you worked for it. So that's what we did. Now, when you go to the farm, you still have to work. But you can't get your money like that. You have to work hard and long. And we had a 200-acre farm just outside of a small town called Wagner, about 30 miles south of Columbia, South Carolina. And we did all kinds of aspects of farming, fertilizing, harvesting, harvesting the peanuts, taking them to market, getting the watermelons out of the field, and taking them to market. We also had milking cows and pigs, chickens, and things like that that made it very easy for us not to have to go to town for anything but shoes, clothes, spices, and ice. In the beginning, didn't have a refrigerator like we have now. We had a so-called ice box. And at that particular time, I was aware of the Second World War, because we moved down there about 1940. And then the war broke out, and when my brother and I would go to town on the weekends, we would look at the newsreels in the movie house, we paid 15 cents to watch a movie, and they'd have the newsreels of how things were going in the war, and we learned a lot about what was happening in the Second World War. In addition, we had some rationing. You couldn't buy but so much sugar, and they had rationing of other things too. But thankfully, on the farm, we could raise our own vegetables, and we had our own eggs, and from the chickens, we cured the meats from the pigs, we cured our own hams, and we'd fish in the rivers and streams and catch our fish. And we would take the wheat from the field and take it to the mill, have it ground into flour, and we'd also take the corn there and have it ground into cornmeal. So we were really pretty self-sufficient year after year, and about the only thing we had to really pay for was fertilizer and some seeds of various sorts that we might need. So it was really quite different on the farm. We had to work a lot. We had to get up early. For example, every morning we had to get up and milk the cows. My brother would milk three cows or four cows, and I would milk three cows. And we'd bring the milk in after we'd fed the hogs and fed the livestock. We'd come into the house. My mother would have a country breakfast there with fresh biscuits. We changed our clothes. By that time, we'd sit down and eat breakfast. And when we got through with breakfast, we'd get out to the bus by 7 o'clock. So you can see, we had to get up pretty early to do all our chores and get to the bus by 7. And we just did this year after year, doing our lessons. And as we got older, we started participating in the high school sports, such as football, baseball, and basketball.
What kind of things did you wear to high school?
Well, being from a farm community, we mainly wore blue jeans, or in those days they had blue jeans with straps that came over your shoulders, and you wore either short sleeve shirts or long sleeve shirts depending on the weather. In the summertime we could go barefoot, but most of the time we wore shoes, maybe work shoes, or we'd have something special going on. We'd have a pair of dress shoes too. But it was a lot different from what we later on had to wear when I went back to school in Alexandria. We moved back up there when I was in the almost the ninth grade. But we kept on farming there, and it was a lot of fun. We grew up. We learned a lot about how things are made and where food comes from and so on.
Okay, when was it that you got your first car?
Well, that was a good while after I had to go to high school first. And I mainly went to high school in where we originally lived, was in Alexandria, Virginia. My dad worked for a big construction company, and they wouldn't let him stay on the farm, so eventually he moved us all back to Alexandria and sold the farm. Now, I didn't like that because I really liked the farm life. But we went back to the suburb of Washington, Alexandria, Virginia. And I started having to ride my bike 5 miles to school and 5 miles back every day. I went to what was called George Washington High School in Alexandria, Virginia. And at that school, we had several sports. We had football, we had baseball, basketball, and we had a sport called crew. So we'd row in these thin wall shells that were about 60-something feet long. You'd have eight people rowing in there, and a coxswain telling you how to row and when to row together. So I rowed all the years that I was there in high school, which was 4 years, and that was a great experience. I also played on the basketball team. The tallest man on the team at that time was 6'2", and I was 6'1". And I was almost as high as tall as he was, but I played forward and he played center. But we had a great team, and I enjoyed it very much. I didn't play on the baseball team because the crew season and the baseball season were at the same time. And I liked the crew so much, I rode on the crew. Our school won the National School Board Championships when we were rowing. It was quite an experience to be able to do that. In addition, During my senior year, I decided that I would join the Navy. So at the end of my senior year, I enlisted in the Navy for an 8-year stint on the active reserve.
Did you have any unusual experiences in the Navy?
Well, let me get back to the car. When I got out of high school, I didn't have enough money to go to college, so I went to work for a paint company that had a branch store in Arlington, Virginia. So I needed to have a straight way of transportation, so my cousin had an old Chevy coupe that had a red body and a black top, and it worked pretty good, except it didn't have a second gear. But it was my first car, and I paid for it by working for the paint company. And after about a year, I was actually being called a bookkeeper for this particular branch store, and they kept me on after I went to college later and gave me some income so I could consider my college education. Now, in the Navy, we would have to go on active duty every year for so many weeks. And in those particular times that we went that were kind of exciting, is I went to New Haven, Connecticut, and New London, Connecticut, and we got on a destroyer escort to escort a carrier. The only thing was, a hurricane was coming toward us, and the winds were very strong, and the sea was quite rough. And we were out there on this rough ocean, and all of a sudden the radar went out. So another crew member and myself, we were experienced in taking care of radar situations, so we were told to go way up on the top of the ship where the radar mechanism was, along with the equipment that ran it, and we had to replace a big vacuum tube. In those days it had vacuum tubes. We didn't have the transistors that we have now. So we went up there in this little compartment where the tube had to be replaced, and we were up there, and of course the top of the ship was really going from side to side. We were really having a little problem standing. So just the time we were about ready to put this big tube in the unit, we hit a bad wave, and I hit something in a shock. I got a shock, and it knocked me all the way across that compartment. And we recovered. Fortunately, we didn't break the tube. We put the tube in, and we got down out of there as soon as we could, because it really was rough at that time. The ship was going in all directions at once. You just can't imagine up and down and sideways at one time. And that was the only time when I was in the Navy that I got sick, so-called seasickness. But it was a great time, and everybody did well, and it was a good cruise. We got out of there without getting into trouble with the hurricane. The next time we had an interesting experience was down where Norfolk, Virginia is, and called Newport News, where they build a lot of ships and carriers. And we were going out of there one day, and we got out in the ocean, and it was getting dark. And as we were going out further, a ship was coming toward us. We tried to contact it and did everything we could, but the ship just ignored us. And pretty soon we realized that we were in a collision course. So at the last moment, we backed down all engines and stopped the ship to keep from hitting the other ship. And they still didn't acknowledge, and they just kept going. So we assumed at that particular time the Cold War was on with Russia. It was probably a Russian ship. But we didn't do anything about it. We let them go on. The guys got back in their hammocks and bunks. And then we had something to talk about the next day. But the Navy was a good service to be in. We all had our jobs to do. I was a communications technician, assigned to the security group. we could jam their radar and things like that, so they couldn't see where we were. But it was a lot of fun, and I stayed in it for like 8 years.